So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 7, The Sacrifice Performed by Daksha, Text Number 43. Gandharva Uchuhu Amsham Shastye Deva Maritya Dhyayate Brahmendra Dhyā Deva Gana Rudra Puroga Kṛdhā Bandham Vishwamidam Yasya Vibhuman Tasmai Nityam Nata Namaste Karabhama. Gandharvaha, the Gandharvas, Uchu said, Amsha Amshaha, parts and parcels of your body, Te, your Deva, dear Lord, Marichi Adya, Marichi and the great sages, Ete, these, Brahma Indra Adya, headed by Brahma and Indra, Devagana, the demigods, Rudra Purogaha, having Lord Shiva as the chief, Kṛdhā Bandham, a plaything, Vishwam, the whole creation, Idam, this, Yasya, of whom, Vibhuman, the Supreme, Almighty, Great, Tashmai, unto him, Nityam, always, Natta, O Lord, Namaha, respectful obeisances, Te, unto you, Karavama, we offer. Translation of purple by His Divine Grace, by Charanarvinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Gandharvas said, Dear Lord, all the demigods, including Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Indra and Marichi, and the great sages, are only differentiated parts and parcels of your body. You are the Supreme Almighty Great. The whole creation is just like a plaything for you. We always accept you as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we offer our respectful obeisances unto you. Please repeat. The Gandharva said, Dear Lord, all the demigods, including Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Indra, and Marichi, and the great sages are all only differentiated parts and parcels of your body. You are the Supreme Almighty Great. The whole creation is just like a plaything for you. We always accept you as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we offer our respectful obeisances unto you. Purple. In the Brahma Samhita, it is said that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There may be many gods, from Brahma, Lord Shiva, Indra and Chandra, down to the rulers of the lower planetary systems, the presidents, ministers, chairmen and kings. In fact, anyone can think that he is God. That is the false, puffed-up conviction of material life. Actually, Vishnu is the Supreme Lord. But there is even one above Vishnu, for Vishnu is only the plenary portion of a part of Krishna. In this verse, it is referred to by the word Amshamsha, which refers to the part and parcel of a part and parcel. There are similar verses in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which indicate that the Lord's parts and parcels again expand into other parts and parcels. As described in Srimad Bhagavatam, there are many manifestations of Vishnu and many manifestations of living entities. Vishnu manifestations are called Swamsha, partial manifestations, and the living entities are called Vivingamsha. The demigods, like Brahma and Indra, have been promoted to such exalted position by pious activities and austerities. But actually Vishnu or Krishna is the master of everyone. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita it is said, Ekali Ishwara Krishna Ar Shabda Britya. This means that Krishna alone is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all others, even the Vishnu Tattva, and certainly the living entities, are his servitors. Baladev is the immediate expansion of Krishna. He also engages in service of Krishna, and certainly the living entities are serving. Everyone is created constitutionally for serving Krishna. Here, the Gandhavas acknowledge that although the demigods may represent themselves as the supreme, actually they are not supreme. Real supremacy belongs to Krishna. Krishnashtu Bhagavan Swayam. It's the statement of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna is the only Supreme Lord. Worship of Krishna alone, therefore, includes worship of all the parts and parcels, just as watering the roots of a tree also waters all the branches, twigs, leaves, and flowers. The Gandhava said, Dear Lord, all the demigods, including Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Indra, and Marichi, and the great sages, are only differentiated parts and parcels of your body. You are the Supreme Almighty Great. The whole creation is just like a plaything for you. We always accept you as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we offer our respectful obeisances unto you. So here we see that in this great sacrifice of Daksha, Vishnu has personally appeared, and all the great personalities here present are now offering their prayers to Lord Vishnu in this sacrifice. And we can see from all these different personalities, they all have different relationships with Krishna, and they're all offering their prayers in terms of their relationship with Krishna. This is the actual beauty of the Srimad Bhagavatam, because it deals with unlimited varieties of relationships with Krishna. Relationships in Shantaras, in Dasaras, in Shakiras, in Vatsalaras, in Madhujaras, and all kinds of varieties of manifestations in their devotional service to Krishna, in relationship to Krishna. So we see here that all these great devotees, great personalities, they're all worshipping Krishna and seeing Krishna according to their own different realizations. Just like here, the Gandhavas are offering their prayers. And the Gandhavas, they're celestial singers. They sing and dance. They're very, very beautiful, the Gandhavas. They're always appearing Krishna's pastimes. If you read Krishna book and they're having some pastime, or Krishna's with his queens or something like that. But the Gandhavas, you know, they all come and they start playing their musical instruments and singing, and they're always associated with the Apsaras. Apsaras are prophets, are angels. They can fly, and very beautiful angels in the sky. So they're all offering their different types of prayers to Krishna, and here they're offering prayers that you are the super mighty great, you are the whole creation, it's just like a plaything for you. So this is their admiring about Krishna. It's just a plaything for you, Krishna. You just come and you play on in that, like a spider creates a web and comes and plays on his web. So Krishna creates and he just comes and plays in there, and he's not. So this is very interesting for the Gandhavas, because they appreciate that. That is their value. That's why they got their birth as Gandhavas. They had that mentality that they want to be enjoyers. You know, enjoyment means singing, dancing. Related to Krishna, but here they are recognizing Krishna. You are, it's everything for you. It's a plaything. So these Gandhavas, actually, they're the playboys of the heavenly planet. So they're seeing Krishna in there, and how they see Krishna, then they're offering them. This is how we appreciate you, Krishna, because, you know, we like this. We're the playboys of the material world. You're the supreme playboy. You come and perform all these pastimes. And we can also serve you by this process of enjoyment. They're known for their being enjoyers of the material world. The story of Chitraketu. So this is their specific flavor of relationship with Krishna. They see him like that. Just like when Krishna entered into the arena of Kamsa, when he was going to fight with Kamsa, Krishna entered with his friends, and everybody was watching, and they saw him. All different personalities had different relationships with Krishna. They saw him like that. It was Kamsa, he thought, here is my death. He was always thinking, Krishna, he's going to be my death. As soon as he saw Krishna, he related, here is my death, this is my relationship, it's been ordained, Krishna's going to kill me. So when he saw Krishna, he saw death personified. But the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they just saw him as their wonderful child. And the friends, oh, he's our loving friend. They didn't have fear at all. They were seeing him according to their relationship. We play with Krishna every day. So they appreciated Krishna like that. The mystic yogis were there. They saw Krishna walking as a super soul, because that's their whole interest, is meditation on the super soul. Excuse me. Their absorption in the super soul. So that's what they appreciate about it. That's what they value when they saw him like that. Here is that person we're always holding in our heart. At least we're trying to hold him in our heart. This is that personality. And the wrestlers, Mushtika and Chanura, they saw Krishna, who they come to fight with them, and they were only little boys, tender little boys. They said, these are like thunderbolts. Krishna's body, in Balaram's body, is so delicate, so soft. But for Chanaka and Mushtika, they saw here, it's harder, they're like strong thunderbolts. They're going to come, and we're really going to get beaten up here, even though they're looking like little boys. So everybody had their own appreciation of Krishna according to their values. And we see these prayers are stressing this aspect of relationship with Krishna. Here, Lord Shiva is offering his prayers. And he's saying how he's just absorbed in Krishna. And he said, I'm always fixing my mind on your lotus feet. I'm no longer disturbed by persons who blaspheme me. Before, his mind was slightly deviated from Krishna's feet. He got angry at the Jagna, and he destroyed the whole sacrifice. But now he's fixed his meditation on Krishna's feet. And he said, now I'm no longer disturbed by these persons who blaspheme me, claiming my activities are not purified. I do not mind their accusations, and I excuse them out of compassion, just as you exhibit compassion towards all living entities. So here Lord Shiva he's appreciating that quality of compassion of Krishna. He's so compassionate, and Lord Shiva's appreciating this, and he also follows in the suit. This is what he appreciates about his master. So he imbibes that quality, and he's also very compassionate. He's known as Asutosh. He's very pleased. He gives benedictions. He's very pleased for his devotees. He's very compassionate here in this island of Rudradeep. He's chanting boom boom. It's his famous sound. Boom 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 bulele. Boom 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 Shankar boom bulele. He goes boom boom. Jai Sachinandana. Jai Sachinandana. Give your mercy to all living entities here. Save them from. Jai Sachinandana. He's glorifying Lord Krishna as the most compassionate. Give your mercy. You show compassion to all living entities. Jai Sachinandana. So he's imbibing that quality. He appreciates. So he's seeing Krishna, Gauranga like that. And the Lord Brahma is offering his prayers. My dear Lord, your personality of eternal form and eternal form cannot be understood by any person who is trying to know you through the different processes of acquiring knowledge. Your position is always transcendental to the material creation, whereas the empiric attempt to understand you is material, as are its objectives and instruments. So here, Lord Brahma, they're only offering a short prayer each, so they only get, because Vishnu is there. So they're just about offering one prayer each. So it must be what they really appreciate, what they value. They're face to face with Vishnu, they're going to say something. And this is going to mean something to them. So they're saying something that means. Now here, Lord Brahma is stressing, and he could say anything, but he's saying these prayers. Your personality and eternal form cannot be understood by any person who is trying to know you through different processes, acquiring knowledge, etc. And this is Brahma's position. He's got four heads. He knows everything in this universe. He's all pervading, practically. These powerful demigods like Brahma, they're all pervading. They know everything that goes on in the universe. But Krishna, he doesn't know. He's appreciating this. This Krishna, I have to respect Krishna. He's greater than me because I do not know Krishna. I do not know the transcendental position of Krishna. I know everything else in the universe. And I'm full of knowledge. I'm the symbol of knowledge, Lord Brahma. But there's one thing I don't know. I can't really understand Krishna. So this is his appreciation. He's letting his appreciation out that... And he says many times, just like in the Brahma Vimoha Leela, and he steals the calves and cowboys from Krishna, and then the boys say, "Oh, the cows have gone off. We lost them." Krishna says, "No, you enjoy your lunch. I'll look after them. I'll go and bring them back, the little cows." So Krishna goes wandering off. Then Lord Brahma comes up and he offers his prayers to him. And he says, you are standing before me just with your little lotus feet like a little village boy. You got a stick and a bugle and a flute stuck in your glittering yellow dhoti. And you're wandering around with some daibat, some yogurt and fruits and sweets in your hand, and it's trickling through your fingers. And you're wandering like a little village boy, as if you don't have sufficient education. He said, "But there is so much difference between your body and my body. I cannot understand. You appear just like a little ordinary village boy, but I cannot understand your body, Krishna. It's beyond my comprehension. Let others, they may say they know you, but as far as I am concerned, I never know you. You let them count the grains of sand on the earth. Let them count the number of stars in the sky. You let them count the atomic particles in the universe. They will never find Krishna." So this is how Lords of Brahma is appreciating Lord Krishna, that he cannot, his personality cannot be understood. So for this thing, it's a big thing for Brahma. He knows everything. This he doesn't know. This is how he's respecting Krishna. He's relating with Krishna. Here, King Indra is offering his prayers. How does he respect? "My dear Lord, your transcendental form with eight hands and weapons in each of them appears for the welfare of the entire universe. It's very pleasing to the mind and eyes. In such a form, your lordship is always prepared to punish the demons or envious your devotees." So here, Indra, he's respecting Vishnu. He's What is his main thing? He punishes the demons. The demons are my enemies. So therefore, Vishnu is so great, he can punish my enemies. Some of my enemies I can't punish. I get defeated sometimes by my enemies. But Vishnu, he can punish them. He always comes and punishes them. Therefore, I really like Vishnu because he's my friend. He punishes the demons. He lets me enjoy the heavenly kingdom when the demons try to take over. Here, the great sages, they're offering their prayers to Krishna. Your activities are most wonderful, and although you do everything by your different potencies, you're not at all attached to such activities. You're not even attached to the goddess of fortune, who is worshipped by great demigods like Brahma to receive her mercy. So what is the big thing about a sage? What the sages are always respected and famous for? Detachment. You're not detached, you're not a sage, definitely. Detachment is always detached from everything. That is the symbol of that. The detached, grave, aloof from everything. This is a sage. Grave, very grave. Sadhu. How are they appreciating the Lord? You're so attached. You're much more, this is what we appreciate, this is our greatness, this is what we value. And how much you are detached, Krishna, that even the goddess of, you're not even attached to the goddess of fortune, whom everybody's trying to get her favor, they're attached to her. Here the wife of Daksha prays, it's interesting her prayers. My dear Lord, it is very fortunate that you have appeared in the arena of sacrifice. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, and I request that you be pleased on this occasion. She's seeking his favor here. She wants some benediction. She's actually the auntie, I think, of Krishna. She's related to him. But she's seeking his some favor here. I request that you be pleased on this occasion. The sacrificial arena is not beautiful without you, just as a body is not beautiful without a head. I think she's making a slight hint here that my husband's got a goat's head and he's not very beautiful. So just as the jagna is not, the sacrificial arena is not beautiful without you, just as the body is not beautiful without a head. I think she's hinting here that she would like to see a head back on her husband without the goat's head. It doesn't say it, of course, but Prabhupada says in the purple, she was asking the favor of Lord Vishnu. She was, as his, in an affectionate mode, since he was his aunt, she sought some special favor, but he doesn't really mention what the favor was. But it feels like she's a, you can do everything and make everything. You could put my Daksha's head back on, otherwise I'm married to a goat head. And here the great mystic said, "Dear Lord, persons who see you as non-different from themselves, knowing that you are the super soul of all living entities, are certainly very, very dear to you. You are very favorable towards those who engage in devotional service, accepting you as the Lord and themselves as the servants. By your mercy, always inclined to their favor." So here, their prayer, their offering. Persons who see you as non-different from themselves, knowing you are the super soul of all living entities. So this is the symptom of a great mystic. He sees everything equal. Vasudeva Sarvamiti, he has attained the an equal vision. He is seeing Vishnu as, and also the living entities are equal. They're qualitatively there, they are one. A little bit close to my body, or Ango Prax, Aham Upro Pashana system. You identify yourself as one in quality with the Lord. It's a system they use. Mayavadis misuse it and say we actually one with the Lord. But it's used to indicate that we are one in quality with the Lord. We are spiritual Satchitananda, the Lord is Satchitananda. We have the same qualities but in minute quantity. But they're very much appreciating this because they're great mystics. They like this oneness, they like to be absorbed in Brahman realization. So they're very much appreciating. So this is how they're relating and reciprocating with Krishna. So here it's stating that they're all stating actually, recognizing Krishna's supreme position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Prabhupada is emphasizing in the purport also, and most probably they will deal with this more when the speakers speak about Janmasthami and everything, but here Prabhupada is quoting Chaitanya Charitamrita, where it is said, Akaliya Krishna, the Kali Ishwara Krishna, Arshabdha Pritya. Krishna, he is the only master, and all others are his servants. So even Lord Balarama, who is the direct expansion of Krishna, for doing things, Krishna expands as Balaram. Then from Balaram comes all the different Shankarshan, the incarnation, and they do all the activities, make creations and things like that, make the spiritual world. Of course, that's eternal. But they do all the moving around. So Krishna just, to do his work, then Krishna expands as Balaram. Then he just expands as hundreds of servants in different forms and different potencies and different names to get everything going. But Krishna's business is pleasure. He doesn't even have to do that. He just expands as Balaram. Okay, you take care of everything. So then Balaram goes. So he's actually doing everything, Balaram. God's business is enjoyment. So this verse is indicating that everyone from Brahma, the very first expansion of Krishna, is acting as Krishna's servant. Brahma takes his position as servant of Krishna. So it's understood that everyone is coming from Balaram, and everything is coming from Balaram. So if he's in the mood of service to Krishna, then naturally everything else is, or should be, in the mood of service to Krishna. And certainly, Prabhupada says, certainly the ordinary living entities are serving. So it's a fact. Prabhupada points out, everyone is serving. The wife serves the husband, the husband serves the wife, they serve the children serve, the man serves the boss, we serve the government serve the people. So services, everybody is performing kind of a service. A live body, you'll see, is performing service. Even the someone performs austerity, then he has to eat something now and again. He has to put some food in his, some service he's doing for himself. So when the living entity leaves the body, then the body doesn't do any more service. Or it's a symptom. When the soul is in the body, you see it's active, it's doing seva. As soon as the soul leaves, there's no service. So this means by nature the soul is active, it is a servant, its position is to serve. And it is, all living entities are certainly serving. Everyone is created constitutionally for serving Krishna. This is a very, very important sentence here. Everyone is created constitutionally for serving Krishna. It's a very fundamental point in our whole philosophy. Mahaprabhu has summarized everything so nicely in Jivaya Sarupai Nitya Krishna Das. It's the constitution of the living entity, is he's the eternal servant of Krishna. So this is the... everything is based on this knowledge. And if you don't have this knowledge, then your philosophy will be incomplete. If you have this knowledge and know nothing else, still your knowledge is perfect and you can become complete and go back to Godhead. Simply with this proper understanding of our constitutional position. So the Vedas, their description of the Supreme Lord, that God, he is one and he becomes many. This is the Vedic aphorism. We are the many. Everything is the many. Anything we see is... But we are also many. There are many devotees here. We're also the many. So God is one and he becomes many. So he's become us. We haven't become him. But he's become us. This is the Chintaveda Veda Tattva. Simultaneously one and different. We're one with Krishna because we come from him. But we're different because we don't have his potency here. So Krishna expands into all the living entities and then all the creation, all the material, everything that everything comes from him. Aham Savasya Prabhava, Krishna says. Everything is coming from me. So he is one, but he becomes many. The next question is, why does he become many? And the answer is, for his pleasure. Very good. So this is a fundamental point. If we simply understand this point in our Krishna consciousness philosophy, everything will be taken care of. You can go back to Godhead simply by being fixed in this knowledge. For pleasure, the purpose of life is pleasure. People are always asking, they don't know, what is the purpose of life, purpose of life? Everybody's talking about it since time immemorial. Prabhupada tells us very simply, for pleasure, one word. Don't have to write theses and books about the purpose of life. It's for pleasure. Who is pleasure? I thought it's my pleasure. Isn't that the situation? Everybody is thinking, actually, it's for my pleasure. This is the illusory state of existence. But when we're out of this illusion, when we're in an awakened state, we understand that. No, I am created for the pleasure of Krishna. Everyone is created constitutionally for serving Krishna. So this is my actual constitutional nature. I am the eternal servant of Krishna. That is the very purpose of my creation. Of course, I'm not created. We're living entities are eternal, but we have to use this word sometimes, because we can't comprehend eternality so well. But in terms of explanation, we sometimes use this term, the creation. But for spirit, there is no creation. The living entities are eternally existing. But to help us understand in the material world, then the Veda uses things like created. You know, the Lord created the living entities. So this is the very purpose of our existence, is to bring Krishna pleasure. It has no other purpose, absolutely no other purpose, our existence, than to bring Krishna pleasure. This is what we should be doing 24 hours a day, because that's what we're doing 24 hours a day in the spiritual world. If we can engage ourselves in Krishna's service with the consciousness we're doing for His pleasure, 24 hours a day, you're not in the material world anymore. You're in the spiritual world. And certainly, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, whatever your consciousness is fixed on the time of leaving your body, that state you will attain without fail. He's promised. You'll go back without fail, you'll go back, because this has been your consciousness throughout your whole life. We're practicing, remembering what is the duty of a person who's about to leave his body. To remember he's the eternal servant of Krishna, and to remember Krishna, glorify Krishna, praise Krishna, chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This is one thing, but this knowledge is lacking. I was 28 years of my life, I'm going to school and everything like that, but I never heard that. I never heard who I was, what my constitution was, what I was supposed to be doing. I didn't hear it. One time. In 28 years, London is supposed to be in a place for education. And still nobody's telling that, it's giving him that education. Prabhupada comes up, he gives him one word, one or two word sentences. Summarizes your whole existence. You can go back and got it. That's why. One moment association with a devotee, so valuable. You just hear one thing from Prabhupada like that. And all the rest of the education, what did Prabhupada call it? Slaughterhouse, yes. Slaughterhouse education. It's a fact. So we give the proper education here. Some people even criticize the Gurukul. Few. A little bit bitter, something like that. Had a bad experience. Despite that, Gurukul is 100% success. And your Oxford, your Cambridge, slaughterhouse education. Of course, if you're Cambridge affiliation, you're okay. If you're ISKCON and Cambridge affiliated, it's okay. Like Smith's, you've got associate. But it's Krishna conscious Cambridge. Otherwise, Oxford, Cambridge and all the other big universities, 100% failure. Is Gurukul 100% success? Even those purpose devotees who go to Gurukul and they get some bitter taste and they end up criticizing it. Even they say, we don't believe in Gurukul, we don't believe in Krishna. What's going to happen to them at the time of death? They're going to remember Krishna. 100% success is Gurukul. They may criticize now, on the verge of death, they're going to remember Krishna very rapidly. They got that education. Even they say, we don't believe in Krishna, we don't believe in Gurukul. The time of death, they're very rapidly, they're going to remember Krishna. They're not going to hang on to the material. 100% success, Gurukul. Outside education, 100% failure. Must. So this is the constitutional education, which is simply a little understanding the getting back to the origin of life. Everybody's searching the origin of life. And then given in one or two sentences, we can answer all these questions. They're going on for generations and generations, discussing what is the origin of life. The first verse of the Bhagavatam tells you. You don't even have to go further, you just open it. Then also, it gives the list of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the list of the different incarnations. Then after he's named all the incarnations, yes. All these different incarnations, they're either parts, plenary parts, so expands plenary expansions of the plenary parts, etc. Now we've described all these different incarnations and avatars and extra said. Then what is the conclusion? Is Krishna an avatar? No. After explaining all the avatars, then he comes to, let's explain Krishna. Krishnashtu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is not an incarnation. He's not an avatar. He's the avatari. All the avatars are coming from Krishna. All the incarnations are coming from Krishna. He himself, generally all these incarnations are coming through the Kiradakshayi Vishnu, who's in the ocean of Milik. In the universe is the Vaikuntha planet with an ocean of Milik, where the demigods go to pray for the Lord when there's disturbance. Generally all those incarnations are coming through the Kiradakshayi Vishnu. But when Krishnashtu Bhagavan Swayam, when that original Krishna comes, once in the day of Brahma, on the 28th millennium, the original Krishna comes directly, and his Golok also descends directly. Golokira Premadana Harinam Sankirtan. And the process descends from the spiritual world directly here in Vrindavan. Mayapur descends directly. He doesn't have to go through any other incarnation. He skips, bypasses Kiradakshayi Vishnu. Kiradakshayi Vishnu is anxious to have a place in Mayapur and a milk ocean in Mayapur to serve Gauranga, the original Gauranga. So this is the original personality of Godhead coming to display his pastimes. Krishnashtu Bhagavan, he is not an incarnation, he is the source of all incarnations. Krishnashtu Bhagavan Swayam. There was one great scholar, I think he may have been in Puri, and he said, when I saw this ISKCON people, I thought they are taking this ISKCON lifestyle and everything, and kirtan and chanting Hare Krishna and the lifestyle of clothing and everything like that. I thought it was just a rich man's hobby. These are people coming from wealthy countries. They are rich men. I think it was just a hobby for them, as a kind of a fashion for a little while, something they were just a hobby, a rich man's hobby, I was thinking. He said, but when I heard them speak, and he said, Krishnashtu Bhagavan Swayam, he said, then I understood. They are bhaktas. They are bhaktas. This is not a hobby for them. They are dedicated devotees of Krishna. They are real bhaktas. He used this when he heard this verse. They said, they are saying Krishna. That means they know who Krishna is. So, here's the glorifying the exalted position of Krishna, which is all that Prabhupada really wanted to do. That's all he wanted to do, just establish Krishna's position in the world. That's all he ever did, preaching about Krishna and our relationship with him. So, here, they're addressing, the Lord has so many names, different avatars, but Krishna, Krishnashtu Bhagavan, Krishna is the most perfect name for God. Krishna means most attractive, all attractive. Everybody's attracted to Krishna. But Yasoda is attracted to Krishna, therefore she's known as Yasoda Nandana. The gopis are attracted to Krishna, Gopi Chandamalva. Arjuna is known as Patasharati. All these different names that Krishna has, unlimited different names which indicate the different pastimes. But of all those names, Krishna is the most perfect. Because Krishna means all attractive. Arjuna is known as Parthasarathi. Why is he known as Parthasarathi? Because he's attracted to Krishna as a chariot driver. Why is Yasoda Nanda? Because she's attracted to Krishna as a little baby. Why the group is attracted to Krishna as a lover. So, all the different names of Krishna, because they're attracted to Krishna, all these sages and they're offering different prayers, they have some attraction for Krishna. So that attraction is Krishna, that means Krishna. Therefore, that's the most perfect name of God. Everyone from the very beginning of his spiritual life will have some attraction to Krishna, to God. Otherwise, he wouldn't. And he may call God Allah, or he may call him Yahweh, or he may call so many different names. But why? Because there is some attraction. So that's Krishna. That's the most perfect name of God. It's not a perfect. Everybody is attracted. Whatever it is that attracts them to, that is Krishna. So Krishna is the most perfect name. So Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. Prabhupada also had this quality. He was all attractive. So many devotees, they were attracted for different reasons. What they valued in life, like here, they saw it in Prabhupada, like these, all these personalities, what they're valuing, they see Krishna. They relate to Krishna. Even in Krishna's devotee, he's like that. Whatever devotees were looking for in spiritual life, many of them, they saw it in Prabhupada when they met Prabhupada. Someone said he thought God was light. God was light. He saw Prabhupada and he saw light shooting out of his head because he's attracted. And so everybody had different understandings, and you would see it in Prabhupada. My idea of spiritual life was shanti, complete peace, no harmony with nature. But especially, you know, complete peace, satisfaction, tranquility. And this is what I thought was, you know, real spiritual life, because of course there's not much description of God. God is very vague, but at least the qualities you need to, you can understand the spiritual qualities. They always talk of peace and love and things like that. They kind of relate to spiritual life, because nobody's really telling you who God is, so you don't really have until you come to Krishna consciousness. So you have your ways and means and your feelings, you know, which you think are spiritual or religious. Anyway, I was thinking like peace, tranquility, and that this is, you know, you're going to find God in the peace. Then when I met Prabhupada, the first time I met him, I had to put a garland on his. We all met him at Dum Dum Airport, and we had garlands to give. And I gave the garland to Prabhupada, and I had a little bowl of flowers, rose petals. And they said, you take the flower petals, you throw them before Prabhupada when he's walking, they make a little road. But and I went and I put the garland on Prabhupada's head, and I had this bowl in my hand as well. And as I put the garland on Prabhupada's head, the bowl hit it. It didn't, not hard, but it made a ringing sound. It went ding, and it just here, it hit him. You know, when something close comes this close to your eye, or even this close, generally you'll jump back, or you'll blink at least. But at least your eyes will flicker. Prabhupada's eyes, nothing moved. It just struck me. It's completely undisturbed, this person. You know, this is just what I'm looking for. He's completely composed. So I think Krishna actually, I don't know if Prabhupada, I don't think Prabhupada was doing perfect. I think Krishna was making these plans. You know, what you're searching for God. Here, you'll see it in my devotee. This is where you'll see all these things. You'll find it in my devotee. You have to approach me through my devotee. I don't reveal myself so easily. But if you approach my devotee, and many devotees had this experience, what they were actually searching for, what they thought was God, they saw it. They found it in Prabhupada. So he had that same quality as Krishna. Like father, like son. Okay, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai, Śrīmā Bhāgavatam ki jai, Samaveda Bhaktavinda ki, Nitāya Gopya Manandī, Hari Hari Bhava. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Any comments? Questions?
Hare Krishna Prabhu. So we see Lord Krishna is known as Atmaram, which is self-satisfied. But Krishna is known as Atmaram.
Who is Krishna?
Krishna. Atmaram. But he is performing many different pastimes in Vrindavan, like stealing butter and many other pastimes. Again, he is known as Ajo, he is unborn. Again, he takes birth as the son of Yashoda and Krishna, Devaki and Vasudeva. So, how can we reconcile this point?
Devaki?
Yeah,
Krishna?
Yeah, he is known as Ajo, unborn. Again, he takes birth as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki. So, how can we reconcile these points?
Last?
How can we reconcile these 2 points? He is unborn, again he takes birth. He is Atmaram, again he is stealing so many pastimes.
How we can reconcile these 2 points? He is unborn, yet he takes birth. He is Atmaram, but he appears to perform activities to get pleasure from. He is already getting pleasure. He is Atmarama. Yeah, he appears to take birth. Queen Kunti offers many explanations why he takes birth. He appears to take birth also. Yeah, he is that supreme, almighty, unborn Lord who everybody recognizes his qualities. He has to be unborn, he's eternal. But then that unborn, he becomes born. Why does he become born? For the satisfaction of his devotees. To give a chance to his devotees and non-devotees to understand his eternal form, his eternal pastimes. He comes to put an end to speculation, Prabhupada says. Because everybody is wondering, this: what is God? This is God. God is light. God is whatever. Everyone has a vague conception. So Prabhupada said, to put an end to speculation, then Krishna comes and says, no, here is God. You see? You see what I look like? My nice blue color, my beautiful face, my peacock feather, my flute, my govardhan. See my activities, I'm killing demons. So now we see, oh, here is God. He not only says he's God. There is no truth superior to me. I'm the absolute truth. He not only says it, because anybody can speak like that. But Krishna proves it. So he does these wonderful pastimes. His eyes are not hardly coming open, yet he kills that big Putana Rakshashi. He's 7 years old, he lifts a mountain. He shows Arjuna the Vishwarup. He's married 16,108 Lakshmis. He's not only saying he's God, he's proving it. So he comes, performs his pastime, then he goes, now you have something to hear about, now you have something to chant about. Before everything was vague. What is God? God is unknowable, he's beyond adog sajya, he's beyond perception of senses, he's invisible, he cannot be touched, he cannot be felt, he cannot be tried, he cannot be... It's all very vague. So Krishna comes, he puts an end to all this speculation. Oh, here I am, look, you see my wonderful pastimes. Hari Bol. Now you can talk about me for the next 5,000 years. So here, now we're 5,000, we're talking about Krishna's pastimes. We're describing his qualities, his beauty, his form and everything. So he's unborn, but he takes birth. It's not necessary to take birth here because his eternal pastimes are going on. But he shows those pastimes here to attract the living entities back. Therefore, out of his kindness, he takes birth. And he is completely self-satisfied. In the third canto, there's a very important verse dealing with the creation of the universe, when the everything is wound up within Mahavishnu. And then the personified Vedas gather around him, they start chanting his glories. You're so great, Krishna, you're so great. It's just like when the king, he has professional chanters. When the king wakes up in the morning, they have professional chanters. Oh, Maharaj, you are such a great, you've got 2 lakhs of elephants. You defeated king such and such, you earned such kingdoms. He just starts telling all of his glories, then he wakes up, very happy mood, because pride is a symptom of Kshatriya. So he likes that, he wakes. So they're all around the Krishna, and they're all chanting Vishnu's glories. And then they say, but the greatest of all your glories is that when you show compassion upon the living entities who are rotting in this material world, this is your greatest glory. So please wake up and again start the creation again, so the living entities can come out in different bodies and get another chance. They can go back to Godhead. So it's said there in the third canto that then the Lord is lying in yoga nidra, mystic sleep, yoga maya. He's enjoying mystical past, mystical dream actually. The whole material pastime is an amorous dream. So he's actually in yoga nidra and he's completely self-satisfied in that situation. There's no need for him to wake up. What's he going to wake up for? Like the Kumaras, they were self-satisfied. Vaikuntha is over there. What am I going over there for? We're self-satisfied, we go over there, we'll be self-satisfied. What's the use of going to see Vishnu? Oh, we'll go for a picnic anyway. They went over there, but when they smelt the tulsi and the flavor, how is it our senses are giving us more happiness than our self-satisfaction? What is this? We were satisfied in ourselves, but we're smelling that tulsi and chandan from Krishna's feet, we're getting more happiness, more bliss. How is that? Then they understood that self-satisfaction is shantaras, but activities, spiritual activities in relation to Krishna, dasaras, higher, shakiras, vatsalaras, much, much more existent than simply self-satisfaction. So then the Kumaras became great devotees. So Vishnu, he is laying in yoga nidra, he's completely self-satisfied. But it says there, he felt some lacking. Now how can God feel lacking? He's lying in mystic sleep. Even I don't feel anything lacking when I'm fast asleep. I'm enjoying that. How come God is feeling something lacking? He's in yogic mystic sleep. A yoga nidra. What is that he feels lacking? He feels compassion for all the living entities who are wound up in more or less an unconscious state in his body. They should be with him in the spiritual world, engaging in so many wonderful activities. But they're stuck in his body and then they come out in creation after material creation, again and again and again. He's feeling so much compassion that I want to engage them in my service. I want to experience a relationship with all these living. That's what they're meant for. That's what they're the purpose of their existence, was to have a loving relationship with me. That's what he is feeling lacking. A very important verse. This defeats the Mayavadi philosophy because their goal is Atmarama. And here the Lord is an Atmarama, and what's his symptom? He's dissatisfied. It's completely the opposite to Atmarama. Self-satisfied and dissatisfaction is... But he's feeling some dissatisfaction, something lacking. What is there lacking in Atmarama? It's all one. If there was a duality, there could be something lacking, but there's nothing lacking. There's no duality in Brahman. But he's feeling something lacking. This is very important verse to defeat Mayavad philosophy. Even the Lord himself is self-realized, Atmarama. He's feeling something lacking. And what is that? Relationship with his devotees. This is Krishna's business. Engaging, exchanging in loving devotional service. This is the whole purpose of our existence. This is the prayojana. So Krishna is, we see these great activities of Krishna. When he acts out of compassion, he gives us another opportunity to come into the material, wake up in the material creation, revive our Krishna consciousness, understand the Lord's pastimes, develop our loving attraction room, go back to Godhead. This is his greatest glory. Why? Because his business is pleasure. We are his pleasure parts and parcels. We're separated from him. Let's go back to give him pleasure. That's what he wants. Best thing for us, best thing for him. Of course, he doesn't... He's not lacking. He has millions and billions. But still he feels compassion. Still he wants us to come back and reinstate us in our constitutional position of loving service. So this is why he takes birth, and this is why he is Atmarama, but still he performs activity. It's out of love for you. So if you love him and go back, then you won't cause him to come and sleep on that ocean and on the different oceans. There'll be no need of a creation. The only reason there's a creation because of you. That's all. It's not for Krishna. All of you, not only him, all of you, and me also. We are the disobedient children of Krishna. So he's made the whole situation simply for us. But he doesn't want that. We know what he wants. His thing stated clearly. He wants us to come back to him. He wants us to develop our eternal loving relationship and go back. So this is his kindness. Otherwise Kunti is also giving him an explanation why he appears, but we should note his daya, his aspect of daya is his most wonderful aspect, and in this form of Lord Chaitanya he's embodied this to the full. Jiva daya, this is the main principle of Lord Chaitanya's incarnation. So merciful. He's giving you that opportunity of reinstating you in your loving relationship with Krishna without all the different mystical processes of self-realization, simply chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Sanat Kumar Das from Los Angeles. There is no work for Krishna in the three worlds, yet he engages himself because whatever he does, others follow. But the same rule does not apply in regards to rasadans, which are not to be followed by the devotees or his followers. Oh, I thought we were to follow. Krishna says there is no work that affects me in this material world. I'm not bound, but still I engage myself in activities for the sake of others. Again, it's compassion. Because whatever great man does, others follow. But at the same time, the rule does not apply in regard to the rasa dance, which are not to be followed by the devotees or his followers. Please explain. Well, I think the explanation is the rasa dance is to be followed by the devotees and Krishna's followers. This is our ultimate goal. In the Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada finishes his very last purport of the 18th, last verse of the 18th chapter. The very last words Prabhupada says is that the living entity is the eternal part and parcel of Krishna, the fragmental part. And by misuse of his independence, he's come into the material world. Now, by proper use of that independence, by proper use of his independent nature, again he can be reinstated in the spiritual, go back to Godhead, be reinstated in his original constitution, in the pleasure-giving potency. Prabhupada says he can go back to his original constitution in the pleasure-giving potency. So that is the Haladini potency. So we can go there. The purpose of that, the main purpose of Haladini potency, which is Radharani, she's the source of that potency, and the main pastime of Radha and Krishna is the rasa dance. So Prabhupada is saying he wants us actually to go back and take part in that, in the pleasure-giving potency, or giving Krishna pleasure. That's our constitutional position. And of which the rasa dance is considered the topmost activity of Krishna, our prayojana deity is Gopinath. Gopinath means master of the gopis, means a rasa dance. He is our prayojana deity. This is our ultimate what we should be, our followers. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I'm not a Brahmana, Kachya, Vaisya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Sannyas, Vanaprastha. Sannyas, what am I? I identify myself as Gopi Pariyo Kamalo Das Das Das. I'm servant of the servant of the servant of the master of the gopis, Gopinath. I think we are followers of Lord Chaitanya. We should be followers. We should identify ourselves as followers of Lord Chaitanya. So therefore we should follow Lord Chaitanya. He has given us our identity. He is our hero. He's given us our identity. Gopi Padya Kamala Das 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 Anu Das. As followers of Lord Chaitanya and Rupa Goswami and Prabhupada, this identity should be attained. Of course, I think you're trying to say here it shouldn't be, we shouldn't imitate Krishna's rasa dance in this world. That we shouldn't do. But certainly we should follow those exalted devotees who have that opportunity to be part of that rasa dance, or enable us also to be able to go there and take part. So we are the followers of Gopinath and his rasa dance. But we shouldn't imitate it in material world. Thank you very much, Sanat Kumar Das, Los Angeles. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Samaveda Bhakti ki jai.